Mambuzi charisa mumira ere. You deserve a photo shoot every hour. It's your hour.
Camera, camera, lights flash.
Tick, strike up, pose.
Oh, swag, drippy, drippy. Click, strike up, pose.
What's good, our rangers? It's your girl Jordan Chanetta, and welcome to the finale episode of the Influence series. I know it makes me sad too, but as you know, the past 11 weeks have been filled with the Influence series, and so if you've missed out on the past 10 episodes, then this is an opportunity for you to scroll it back and go and check out those episodes before you check out this one. I just want to say thank you so much to the Hour Rangers for helping to make Her Hour Season 2 possible, but also for continuing to support our content and for being present for these conversations. These conversations would be nothing without you. And so, shout out to the Hour Rangers. Y'all are the real day ones. And yeah, I feel like this is going to be the most explosive episode. So stay tuned, and I hope that you enjoy our final display for you from the Influence series, and we hope to bring you guys more content like this. But thank you so much for supporting the Influence series, and we will see you on the other side. So see you now.
Click, strike up, pose.
Okay guys, so as you can see, I am no longer alone as usual. I think you guys would get really bored of me if it was just me talking in your faces for a whole hour. So I am joined by none other than our fave co-host, Vera. What's good?
Hey, how you doing? Yes, everybody, it's me, Vera, your faves of your favorite fave.
right. And so we're also joined by another special person who happened to actually sneak into this Zoom chat. I don't even know how he got to. I'm just like, I'm kidding. But yeah, please introduce yourself to our special Hour Rangers.
What's up, people? It is Comrade Fatso here. I'm a comedian, a satirist, a creative, and a general troublemaker.
Perfect. Thank you so much for coming on. So as you can tell, guys, you know, the situation is dire, and I'm a little bit in need of some liquid. I won't say courage in this instance. I'll say like liquid comfort. And the form of liquid comfort comes in, you know, Kuva Beverages, who happens to be our episode sponsor. They are really amazing Zimbabwean-based beverage brand. And so if you want to check out their beverages, I've heard they also make a champagne. So for y'all who like the bubbles, check out their champagne. They make beers. They might be competing with some of your faves. So check them out. But yeah, I think this is the perfect place for us to just jump into the conversation. And basically what we're talking about today is what influence means to people. People meaning us three in this conversation, because there's no one else. So what influence means in this conversational space, what we, you know, all see in that, and how it like plays its role in the way that society works today, you know, internet culture, social media culture, what. So the first question that I want to ask everyone is, what does influence mean to all of us?
I mean it depends, like what influence are you talking about? Are you talking about the influence that the two of you are under with your Kuva drinks there while the rest of us are just drinking coffee?
That influence is for another episode.
No. I have to run it back. Now that you like lifted your cup, I have to ask you, what are you drinking? What is in your cup?
I'm drinking the tears of all the comrades who made it through the weekend and woke up today to realize it's a Monday.
Right. Okay, that's perfect. Okay, so we were speaking about influence outside of an alcoholic Cuba Beverages context.
In, what does influence mean? I think influence can mean many things. Like, you know, you've got certain people who've got big influence over the Hurment. Like, you know, Kudata Gray. I mean, that dude's got influence. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he controls our agriculture, our mining, our peturu. I mean, you know, our ministers. So I'd say when we talk of influences, you know, people would want to talk about my social media influences and the Mbingas and whatever, but ultimately, like, the biggest influencer in Zim is Kuda Tagire. It's just you don't follow him on Instagram, but when you see the potholes on the streets and there's no PPE in the hospitals, it's because that dude's been getting the tenders, you know? And that's where the money's been going. Saka, he's a true Zimbabwean influencer.
Right. Love it. Vera, do you want to contribute anything?
Oh my gosh, I don't even think I could top that. That is actually the ultimate level of influence, is when you literally influence everything in a country. But yeah, I can't agree more. Yeah, Kuda Tagire definitely would be number one influencer in Zimbabwe, then followed by our Instagram, Twitter, socialites and stuff like that. But yeah, it's just basically being able to influence a group of people or just even an individual. I think if you can convince even Boki from next door to do something, I guess that also technically makes you an influencer. So yeah, just being able to get someone to do something because you've kind of told them or you've started doing something and they feel the need to follow suit.
Yeah, right.
I feel that. Okay, so
I think it's not necessarily a negative word, influencer. Like, I think you can have positive influences. I think, you know, globally, you know, someone like Greta Thunberg is an amazing influencer for young people and all about, you know, fighting to protect the earth from climate change. Or, you know, in Zim, you've got positive influences like Namatai Kwekweza, who use social media to inspire young people to take action, to be part of positive change in their country. But I think also, yeah, on social media globally and locally, there's a lot of negative influencing. I think, you know, globally you've got the, you know, the Kim Kardashians, who ultimately are just really influencing young women to be more, you know, consumerist, materialistic, not necessarily body positive. So I think you've got a lot of influences that just perpetuate the status quo. And in Zim, it's right. No different. Like some of our biggest influences are the Mbingas. You know, Jinimbi was the influencer before he passed away. But I mean, it, with him going, it doesn't mean we've stopped worshiping, you know, Mbingas and pastors. And you know, none of this kind of crop of influences is about changing the status quo. I mean, Mbingas are literally, they make their money from tenders and dodgy deals. And so they're benefiting from the system. And so I think there's different levels of influencers, and those who do it for positive reasons and those who do it for negative reasons.
Right. I love that you brought up Namatai. She's actually one of the guests in this series. So if you want to check out her episode, be sure to roll it back and watch a few of our other episodes. But I really completely agree with you that there are a lot of people that have influence and don't necessarily use it in the best ways. So I think that's something that should be highlighted when we speak about influence, is the fact that it's not always good. It's a two-sided thing. I think that some people pose as good when in fact they are doing very shady things behind the scenes. And there are a lot of people who pose as bad, but in there, like, making fun, making jokes, making, like, you know, poking fun at people, there's a message in it, you know? I think that's something you can relate to, you know, as much as you have jokes, you make fun, you're just enjoying, I think that it's, at the end of the day, there's a message, there's like a something on top of it all. It's not just, oh, we're having laughs. It's more than just that. It's the influence behind what is being said. So I wanted to ask you, is influence something that you came into naturally, or is it something that you built for yourself?
As in, how did I allegedly come to have influenced. You know.
Yes, yes. If you believe that you even have influence, I mean, I believe that you do, but I mean, do you?
I'd like to think that I can, you know, that I can be part of a positive force for change, and that I can inspire young Zimbabweans to be part of positive change in their country. That's the most I can ask for. In terms of like me, maybe being in a position now to have some influence, which I think many, you know, of course there are many, many peeps who do. Getting to this, this position, of course, I wasn't born with influence. I wasn't born with an Instagram account with thousands of followers. I was born into a family that was, my parents were always involved in lots of social justice work. Always committed to different forms of social justice work, be it working with rural communities on rural community empowerment projects, or working with my mum working with working class single mothers organizations, or working with street kids organizations. And my dad also being involved a lot in human rights activism. I think that's the kind of the environment that me and my brothers grew up in. So it very much kind of encouraged us to see how we could contribute positively to the world, how we could advance those kind of important struggles for social justice and a better tomorrow. So I always wanted to be active and engaged in some way. Of course, you know, when you're at high school, you're still not sure what you're going to do. And I think I got more of a sense of it, maybe in my late years at high school and then during university. Like at high school, I was in my last 2 years of high school, I was much more kind of politically aware, and I was writing letters to the editor about the political situation in Zim, and going on my first demonstrations. I went on my first protests in my school uniform, got tear gassed outside parliament. So, you know, I was getting a taste for the jambanja, you know, for the noise. I did university in the UK and France, because I'd done all my schooling in Zim, but I just was like, okay, I want to go somewhere I can get a completely different perspective. In the UK and France, I did university there. I always knew I wanted to come back to Zim as soon as I was done to be part of the struggle for, you know, a better Zimbabwe. In my time in the UK, discovering a lot of spoken word, and how spoken word can be an art, can be a powerful tool in different struggles. I was getting involved in a lot of kind of media activism and working with some really cool anti-war groups. It was the time of the anti-Iraq war movement, and working with some really dope anarchist media collectives on direct action newsletters. All the kind of artsy activism, media activism things were kind of being formed there. And then, I came back to Zim like early 2000s, performed lots of spoken word, built a band around that. But then really realized there was a kind of a need for new forms of creative activism that could reach young people. And so that's when we started Magamba back in 2007 with the Comrade Outspoken. And it's just been a journey from there. We've just been, making it up as we go along, trying to have fun in the process, trying to inspire a few youthies as we do, and meeting cool people like Vera on the journey, you know? She's also joined the network.
Right. Shout out to Magamba, guys. For real. Like, shout out. Vera, how do you feel like you interact with influence in your capacity?
As I have said throughout, I'm joking. I guess for me, I'll just keep repeating the same thing that I've always said, is that it's always just been about if I can change one person's perspective about, you know, life or about how they feel about something, then, you know, that's good enough for me. And also just inspiring people to kind of make, you know, to make better decisions about life and about things that they want to stand up for, things that they feel passionate about and things like that. And I think always just in general being that person. The other day I was talking to an old classmate and she was like, you were always the person that every time there was a new girl in class, I would be the first person to go to that person like, hey, I'm here to like welcome you to the school. Like it was my my unofficial role that I gave myself. And I think I've just always been the kind of person that just likes to make people feel comfortable, like to kind of encourage people to, you know, shine their brightest lights and just be the best person that they can be. So I think that's kind of my influence. It's great that like also through music and through some of the opportunities I've had to speak to young people and things like that, I've gotten a chance to speak to like larger groups of people at a given point in time, which is fantastic. But yeah, initially I just wanted to be famous for clout, and then I got involved in like just doing it to
for nice things.
Yeah, for nice things, like, you know, getting a jet, flying around, you know, it seemed like a great idea when I was a teenager. And then like, as I got older and I was like, wow, like I grew up in a bubble. Our country kind of sucks sometimes. The world kind of sucks sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then like my perspective really kind of changed. And I started focusing on getting people to fix themselves inside. And then they can start focusing on, you know, fixing things on the outside. And then that's how, you know, we essentially get to live in a better world and community and space.
Right. I completely agree with you. I think something that is standing out to me over the duration of this series that you know, in the conversations that we've been having, is the fact that, you know, influence is not something that is segregated to a certain social class, or it's something that is not segregated to a particular type of person. I think that we all have influence within our different capacities. And I think that no matter how big or small you are, you have some sort of influence over the people that are around you. And I think we shouldn't take that for granted. I think that looking looking at celebrities and looking at people in positions of perceived power is not as healthy as we make it out to be, because we make it seem like you have to be in a certain position to have influence, or you have to be in a certain position to be conscious of your influence. When in fact, every single person should be conscious of their influence. Every single person is working within a space where someone is looking at what they're doing and is taking notes or is learning from them. You know, like a parent is influential over their kids' decisions.
And of course, you know, to be able to influential, like to be influential, there's so many other dynamics behind it. Like, you know, I'm white, male, middle class. Like I'm born with those, like as major privileges. Like I have, there's no question, I've got those as privileges. I've white privilege. So in order to have, you know, I think also we have to be cognizant of like also the class and race dynamics that we're born into. And we, you know, it's not an equal society, and we're not born into an equal society. And so if you're born with certain privileges, you need to be cognizant of them. And I think definitely, like for me, and you know, in my work and my activism, it's also about being, you know, being cognizant of the kind of the privileges that I was born with, and the need to fight for a better, more just, and more equal society.
Right. Just on that, I think that's a perfect place for me to segue this conversation. And I think that, you know, there are a lot of people who have influence who don't know the impact of what that influence means. A lot of people who see influence as something that's just a toy, something to be played with, you know, get deals, get brand deals, make money, sell my products, be a Kardashian, yeah. You know, but, you know, there's so much more to it than just selling products and making money and looking cute. You know, one thing that we've been speaking on in this series is the fact that last year, I think something that we all saw was the Black Lives Matter movement, which was in the States. And if people want to bring it more closer to home, there is the Zim Lives Matter movement, where there were a lot of people who were being asked to speak out, or people who didn't speak out, or I think the best example that we can give in Zoom is Miss Red, who didn't want to speak out. And then when she did speak out, there was like a whole lot of like, what is going on? People were very confused. And so my question to you is, do you think that there's some sort of social responsibility that goes into being someone in a position of influence? Or do you think that people can take the influence route and just go at it blind and do whatever they want?
I mean, no, yeah, no, I think, no, definitely not. Because I think when we're throwing around the word influence, like influence is to 2021, what raw power was to the 1920s. You know what I mean? Like influence is power. And we're living in an age, you know, it's very much an information age. It's the age of data. And so, you know, the biggest corporations in the world aren't necessarily the ones that control, oil anymore. It's the ones who control information. It's Amazon with their cloud computing systems. It's Facebook with all your profiles and mine. So being an influencer is a position of power. I mean, Donald Trump is the prime example of an influencer who became president, and he was a shit influencer, and he was an even worse president. No. But that's how in the modern age, like you can parlay your social media following into political power. Of course, there's other more positive ways that is used, like let's say by your Bobby Wines in Uganda, you know, a super popular, influential reggae musician who then, you know, pivoted that and became, you know, parlayed that into becoming like a massive influence's power. And if you don't use your influence, if you don't use it responsibly, then you should be held to account for that. We don't just hold to account members of parliament. You have to hold to account all those who have power in society. And those running big corporations, and that's peeps who are big media influencers.
Right, agreed. Vera, do you want to throw some coins into this fountain of conversation?
No, I completely agree. I've always said this and I will always say this. I think the minute you expect like an audience to listen to you, to endorse you, to support you, then you actually owe it to that same audience to support like a really big cause that, you know, is a, you know, for the greater good type of causes. I think there's certain things that you just can't keep quiet about. I've always said this, I will continue to say this. You can't keep quiet about if there's like Black Lives Matter, Zimbabwean Lives Matter. That's something that you can't choose. Just be like, I'll pass this one. It's not for me. Like if you're Zimbabwean, if you're Black, we expect you to say something, you know? Same thing with like, you know, the situation with, the Save the Babies and stuff like that. Like, I think as a woman, the minute you consider yourself a woman, a parent, a human being, like these are things that you have to speak on, even if you don't want to have your own kids, but you have to realize that it is for the greater good of, you know, the general public. You have a relative who can potentially be in a hospital and lose their kid just because there's not enough medication or, you know, the doctors are understaffed. You might be a person who has a sister who is going to travel to America one day, and that sister or that brother will have a friend who is Black who's going to go to America and who's going to be abused by, you know, police officers or choked to death. And like, if you don't want to say anything about it, then you're a problem. And I think people, the general public, does have a right to kind of be mad at you or, you know, say something to you when you don't react or when you don't say something. And I think, like, as I always say, is that it's not about making a huge gesture. Like, you don't have to be like, I think it was Burna Boy who did the whole, what's it called? The billboard? No, like literally just that hashtag. It's about pushing the movement, getting the hashtag to trend. You just posting it and just saying hashtag whatever lives matter, whatever the hashtag is just you doing something, because it then makes everyone else kind of want to know more about the movement, and then it helps to push the movement forward. We're not asking much for you. We're not asking you to get a degree in whatever. Now we're just saying, just say something to make other people say something to make some sort of a change happen. Simple.
Right. I think I love that you brought up the thing of parents. I think even I was just saying that a little bit earlier on, the fact that parents, I think we can look at that model of influence, like the parent-child relationship, and apply it to an influencer context. And, you know, if you are someone who is teaching and bringing all these messages and being in people's faces on a constant basis, shouldn't it be important for you to streamline what you're putting out there? Or shouldn't it be important to you to want to influence the people that are looking to you or looking up to you to do better or be better? It shouldn't just be a thing of, oh, I'm just going to use this child. Let me say it like that. I'm just going to use this child because they're cute and they give me, you know, a value. People look at me because I'm carrying this cute child. And people are like, oh my gosh, you have such a cute child, you know. But it's not the same thing. It's not fair to the people that are looking up to you to be like, I'm going to take what you give to me. I'm going to take the clout that you have bestowed upon me, and I'm going to do nothing but peddle all these stupid messages to you in exchange. It feels like a really bad transaction, and it kind of leaves a bad taste in my mouth, to be honest. I think that you should naturally want to do better. But I also think about the idea of, like, what if someone doesn't have the range for these kinds of conversations? What if someone doesn't know how to go about speaking on these topics? Like, some people don't have the range, guys. Honestly, and I'm just going to take it back to my example. Sorry, this is not an attack on Miss Red. Miss Red, I am not attacking you. You are just a case study. You're just a case study. And so what I want to say is that, you know, when she was being, what is the word? What can I call it? She was being essentially dragged through the mud on social media because of the fact that she didn't speak out. She went on to an interview, and then she spoke and she said, oh no, the situation on the ground is completely different from what she was experiencing and what she was hearing.
And what's been the response? I mean, we're reading headlines that the president says things like he's going to flash out opponents, and, you know, it doesn't seem like he's being receptive to what's being demanded.
I mean, it's a very difficult one. And I always say to people that it's so difficult to understand the Zimbabwean situation unless if you are in Zimbabwe, because there's a very big disconnect between what happens on social media versus what's happening on the ground. So if you're to read the social media, you'd probably think that we are like in the middle of a war zone.
Yeah.
And it's like Baghdad or one of these countries with like crazy war happening. But it's actually not like that.
Okay.
What happens in Zimbabwe is that social media is a lot of young people, a lot of people in diaspora who have been grunted over the years because they've had to come out of the country for different reasons, mainly being the fact that the economy has been so terrible for them. They've had to move to other countries.
And yeah, people were just outraged by that, and essentially the internet started canceling her, and that sort of leads me to the next part of our conversation, and it's around cancel culture. I think people think about cancel culture and they're like, no, it's just an American thing. Cancel culture doesn't exist. What is that? But when that whole Miss Red thing went down, people were now bringing out pictures of her, like with her political affiliations and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And people were just like, hectic. And she essentially was canceled for a second. And so my question is cancel culture real? Because, I mean, she still gets her job. She still is having the time of her life. She still is politically affiliated and living her best life. Do you think that cancel culture is real? Do you think that it's an actual thing? And yeah.
Do you want to go first, Vera? I've spoken first every time. It's not fair. You need to.
Okay, I'll go first. Yeah, cancel culture, I think it is a thing. I just think that it's a slippery slope, because people have been canceled for statements they said like 10 years ago, when obviously, like, if I look back at things I said 10 years ago, I don't think people would like me as much. So I think sometimes because it's so unregulated, because it's so temperamental. It's about how I feel today. I'm going to go on Instagram or on Twitter and I'm going to look back 10 years ago to see what Comrade Vatso said about the Zimbabwean economy. And if I don't like what he said, I'm going to bring it up and be like, oh my gosh, 10 years ago when Magamba was still in its formative years, Comrade Vatso said this, so we must cancel. I mean, come on, guys. Like, so I think when it comes, like, when it's in that form, I think definitely it's very redundant. It's very, like, it doesn't make sense, especially if a person's narrative has changed. We all said stupid things at some point in time in our lives. And unfortunately, the internet does not forget. So, but I think what's important is, if that's not what I stand for today, if I said something 5 years ago and I don't stand for that today, and clearly all of my actions have proven that that's not what I stand for today, then, like, I shouldn't be, like, held accountable for those kind of sins. But when it's in this context of, I'll give an example of R. Kelly, where this guy was like, people constantly asked him, like, dude, are you sleeping with children? And he's like, nah, they don't understand me, no, they're just my friends. Like, nah, like, he does not, he didn't want to admit that he made a mistake
from the uncle. Robert, stop it, y'all. Robert, quit playing. Robert, I didn't do this stuff. This is not me, y'all. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it. Y'all just don't want to believe the truth. You don't want to believe it.
At this point, we briefly pause the interview to give Kelly a moment. His publicist helped calm him down.
I hope this camera keep going.
No, we're
going
to let the camera keep
true.
Rolling.
Okay, this is not true. This doesn't even make sense. Why would I hold all these women? Their mothers and fathers told me, we're going to destroy your career.
But Kelly's emotions remained raw.
It's real girls out there missing. It's real young girls out there being abducted, being raped.
And I think that's my biggest problem. So yes, definitely, let's cancel him. Let's take off his music. Let's not listen to him. Let's just, like, you know, done. And I think definitely when it's in that context, then definitely, like with the Ellen DeGeneres situation again that came up last year, where people were like, no, she's a mean, horrible person. I think if it's something that was proved and that she didn't want to acknowledge that, okay, yeah, maybe, you know, I've been a bit off with people, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm trying to change, then, like, let's give people a chance to change. Let's not just, like, we're cutting your source of life and we don't want to see you again, we're not going to let you rehabilitate yourself, life sentence in jail, bye, peace out. Yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think it's because I mean like with what Vera's saying, I think it's an interesting debate. Like, I mean, even like, the, you know, does cancel culture itself exist globally, or is it also like the term cancel culture? Is it not just like a creation of the right, you know, to kind of attack how progressives or like, you know, that like the woke generation are approaching things? Mm-hmm. Because, like, you know, you completely understand when young people in the UK will call out J.K. Rowling and say, "Yo, you're transphobic," and we're not going to support your shit anymore. when you have the movements in the UK and the US to take down of traders. I don't necessarily think that's you know, either of those examples are like canceling an individual or denying history. I think it's more, it's, you know, in J.K. Rowling's sense, it's calling her out for having completely outdated transphobic views. With regards to the statues, it's not saying that this didn't happen. Slavery obviously happened, but why the fuck are we commemorating it? Why are we celebrating it? Mm. I think also, like, the kind of the cancel culture narrative is something that the right wing uses a lot to kind of bunch all the kind of progressive or woke causes together and say, you all just want to cancel everything, so fuck you. You know, you're trying to cancel history, whereas history happened. And
right, I feel that. I think that's a perfect example. I have stood strong in my belief that cancel culture is not real. It does not exist. Like you said, it's something that was created by like conservatives and right-wing people who don't like to be held accountable. It's this thing of just because people are jumping on the bandwagon of, oh my gosh, this person is trash, this person did this, this person did that, they created a term to sort of like demonize the idea of holding people accountable in some sort of public court. Mm-hmm. The public court being social media. And so I think that you're very right in saying that it's just a term. It's not a real thing. You might lose your jobs. You might get kicked out of whatever, whatever. I think something I stand strong to is the fact that it does not change the amount of zeros in your bank account. Just because you've canceled me does not change the fact that I'm a millionaire or a billionaire or whatever. It's not subtracting anything, you know? So cancel culture, my ass. There is no such thing. It is just a joke. It's a big joke to me. But I think that to a certain extent, this idea of holding people accountable, just in our human nature, we take things too far. That's just the way that we are. We take everything too far. Like, I mean, look at Hitler, who someone who just took everything too far. You know, you can look at racism, you can look at homophobia, transphobia, everything. All these extremist things are just people taking things too far. And I think it's just a natural response to our outrage. We love to be mad. We're really like, it's our nature to be angry and to want to one up and be like, you want to take it there, I can take it here. And then I can take it here. And then I can take it even further and take away your job. And then I can... So, yeah, I think that it's not a real thing. It's not something that is going to change the world. I don't think anyone is being ruined by cancel culture, but I think it's essential. If we're going to call it whatever it is, I think it's essential to hold people accountable. I think people shouldn't just be able to do whatever they want and get away with it. I think that it's important for us to have a public court, and I love it. So yeah, I think that this is bringing us to the end of our conversation. And I think that I just really want to take these next few minutes for us to really just focus on our comrade here sitting with us and just ask you if you have any words of wisdom or any advice for people who are coming up in an influential sort of way, or people who would like to come up and be influential. And also just people in general, like, since I said that everyone has influence, do you have any words of wisdom for like the general population?
Words of wisdom. any message for the youth of today? we all brought up NBC, so we always have that in the back of our minds, the message. For any young, you know, content creators or aspiring activists who are coming up today, like, I think what's, you know, what's different now compared to when I grew up is, of course, like, you know, young people today, like late teens, early 20s, they've grown up on social media, so it's second nature, which on the one hand can be a positive, because you can be super tech savvy and know how to navigate the world digitally, and you know, it brings so many parts of the world together, but I think on the flip side is there's also the kind of, I want to be famous to be famous. That's why I want to be famous, so that I can be famous and well known. But for what? Right. I think that's definitely a tendency that's out there, is like to be an influencer because I want to be famous because. And I think for aspiring content creators, activists, artists that are there. In Zim today that want to get influential, I think it's key to have a message, and And, you know, what change do you want to bring about in your small way? And if, you know, if you do develop a following, if you do become popular through content that you're creating or music, you know, music that you're making, what is that change that, that you want to make? Because, you know, as rich as Jeff Bezos is, you know, ultimately he's got so many billions. He's never going to, enjoy all that money, and his wealth won't be his obituary. His obituary will be what he did to change the world, and the fact that, you know, he's made billions from the pandemic and has only donated like 100 million US, which is like 0.00001/16% of his wealth. So I think it's about, you know, we all have a small time on this world, and the change, it's all about the change that you can make while you're here. I think that's the most important. If you can look back at your life and be happy with what you've done, if you've, you know, if you've been a good person, if you've been kind to others, if you've been in love, I think that's the key.
Right. Love that. Vera, do you want to add something to it?
Oh gosh. I think he said it all. I think that's really important. Like, I think what really touched me the most is the part about Jeff Bezos, is that, like, a lot of the times when someone is alive, it's the same thing with Janine B. Like, we just knew him as like the money guy, and now that he's dead, it's like, was that his legacy? And that's something that I had a lot of conversations with a lot of people about. I was like, it's great, he had money when he was alive, but like, when you're dead, people start to question like what your legacy was. Like, what did you do with the billions or the millions or the whatevers that you had? With the time that you had, what exactly did you do? And like, no one is gonna, we'll be like, yeah, we had a bingo of our time, but like, that's it. And what else did you do with it? So I think that's really just important, is to just say that, like, what legacy are you leaving behind? How do you want to be remembered when you die? What do you want people to say at your funeral? My mom always used to say that to me, is, what will people say at your funeral? Will they be like, you're the party animal that we all loved? Or, you know, you're the person that, you know, did great things and inspired people to be amazing and stuff like that. So I think it's really important to live your life, like, with that in mind. As morbid as it may seem, but it's not that morbid, because right, it's so great that you're leaving behind some sort of a legacy.
What you're saying, what you've both said, is completely and 100% true. I think that we sort of live in an age and a time where people are very, you only live once, you have to make the most of this life, you know, you have to do everything that you want to do in this lifetime, because once it's done, it's done. But I think that in saying that, it's also important for you to remember the people that inspired you when you were coming up. Remember the people that made you want to do this and made you say, wow, I really want to be a part of this. Maybe it was your favorite rapper who was singing about guns and bitches, and you're just like, how is someone to have guns and bitches? But that's not sustainable. I think it should be something that's sustainable. It's something that bringing back, giving back, and it's not just take. You can't just take. As a vessel of nature, part of our natural, what is the word? Our natural function is to give back to this earth. That's why when you die, you get buried and you become fertilizer. So if that's the only way that you're going to give back with your body, then okay. But I mean, try to give back before you become fertilizer. So the last thing that I want to ask is, do you have anything that you want to speak on that you're passionate about? Anything that you feel like we left out of the conversation? Anything you want to plug? Anything, just anything. This is your chance to take the floor and sound off on whatever you want to sound off on.
Yeah, I think it was a good convo. I think it's important to have these discussions in Zim, you know. And I think talking about the power of influencers and cancel culture, I think it's you know, it's really important to discuss these kind of things. And you know, there are not enough platforms to do that in Zim. It really, like, the platforms that we can do it on are really like your new online platforms, like what you guys have with Her Hour, because unfortunately, so much of our of our media is captured in Zim. From our TV stations to our radio stations to, you know, I mean, even the new radio stations that got announced. I mean, you know, if the army isn't involved in them, then ZANU-PF is involved in them. I mean, it's like,
right.
So yeah, we're living in Zim in crazy times of media capture. Like growing up, we had more independent media, like the Zimbabwe Independent Newsday, Daily News were actually they were independent private media, of course, like they're corporate media, but they were independent of the government. But I think at the moment we've got a situation where there's very little free media, and so the more platforms there can be, like Her Hour and others, the better, because we need real, true, independent, alternative information to get out to the youthies, because otherwise they're just taking in propaganda in its many different forms.
It's perfect for me to shout out to Magamba, because Magamba is not state captured. They are creating content and creating media that is free for all, free for, you know, it's an opinion. It's very opinionated. And I prefer something that is opinion-based, no matter what the opinion is, as opposed to it being something that is censored and is, you know, being controlled and being, some people are being silenced, some people are being given a platform. What I love about Magamba is the fact that it's for all of us. It's a space where we can share our ideas, share our thoughts, share our, you know, as wacky as our opinions may be, you are entitled to your opinion, and it shouldn't be something that is silenced by the people who should be governing your country. I think that this is the perfect place for us to end this conversation. I really, really appreciate both of you for engaging in this conversation with me. Shout out last time to Kuva Beverages for making this episode possible, for making what I'm feeling inside possible as well. I think if you want to check out some more of Comrade Fatso's content, be sure to click on the social media pages. They should be on the screen right now. Also check out our social media pages, mine and Vera. They should also be on the screen. Shout out to our Rangers for being 1,000% amazing, for sticking by us through this series. It's been a good 11 weeks, and we are really, really grateful to y'all for being here listening to this conversation. It's relevant. It's going to be relevant to today, tomorrow, next year. It's a conversation that stands strong no matter what. What year we're in, because we live in a social media time. Sorry, guys, it just started raining and I'm like, yo, hectic. But thank you so much, Comrade Fatso, for coming on. I really, really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, guys.
Yes, thanks, guys.
Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, share, check out the other episodes. You know, everything, all of those things. And we will see you guys around in some of our new content. So thank you so much and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Tick, strike, pose.